Voima.
Ymmärrä maailmaa.
Tervetuloa Voiman studioon. Welcome to the studio of Voima magazine.
Thank you for having me here.
Yes, this is Andrei Kurejczyk.
Yes, yes. I'm playwright and director from Belarus.
And now you are actually in Helsinki.
Yes, I was pushed out from my country by Mr. Lukashenko, and after several countries where I lived, now I have a residency, artistic residency in Helsinki, and spend it with my son. Thank you to Artist at Risk initiative.
Well, good to have you here, but we are really, really sorry you are here for so sad reasons. I just say a little bit in Finnish. Andrei Kurejczyk on siis taiteilija, näytelmäkirjailija, ohjaaja, elokuvaohjaaja, dokumenttielokuvaohjaaja, vaikka mitä. Ja hän on nyt taiteilija residenssissä täällä Suomessa. Hän on ollut täällä jo jonkin aikaa. Ja me menemme tähän myös tässä haastattelussa sitten lopuksi. Nyt puhutaan ensin kiivasta maailmanpolitiikkaa. Let's talk about the very, very distressing and sad situation now at hand, what's going on in Ukraine, and also a lot of that is happening now in Belarus. And also, of course, Russia, because Russia is attacking Ukraine at the moment. Russia has
and occupies
been,
Belarus, actually. And,
oh, yes, yes.
Because we have now a lot of Russian troops on the streets of our cities, and actually we see that Belarusian government doesn't control anymore our country. And from the territory of Belarus now it's going the biggest strike on Kyiv. And the rockets sent from territory of Belarus to the cities of Ukraine.
Yes. And you said to me earlier that, was it your president, I mean, not legitimate president, because people did not vote for him, but de facto the president is still Lukashenko. And he had said earlier on that never could a Russian soldier cross the border to Ukraine from Belarus.
Yes, during his electoral campaign he gave a lot of interviews, and in one of them to Dmitry Gordon, a Ukrainian journalist, he said on the direct question if it's any possibility that Russian troops can cross border with Ukraine and attack Ukraine, he said it's never ever happened. Will happen. It's not possible while I'm president. And now we see that he was lying.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, was he lying or is he just stupid?
No, he. I think that now he is under control of Putin, just under direct control. If we have the troops of another country without approval of our parliament, of our government, it means that we are under occupation and under control. And of course, our parliament or our government never give any information about possibility of attack of Ukraine from the Belarusian territory. On the contrary, they said it's not possible. So after 24th of February, when attack started, Belarusians understood that we are under occupation, silent occupation of Russia. And thousands of people went to the streets again. And yesterday, more than 800 people were arrested on the manifestations against war and against occupation. And we have fear that the war will come to Belarus as well.
Okay, let me just say this. I just talk a little bit in Finnish again, but it's about what you just said.
Yeah, that's okay.
Joo, ja anteeksi, mä en esittäytynyt alussa. Mä oon siis voimantoimittaja Iida Simes. Ja hän sanoi tässä tosiaan, että Valko-Venäjä on vallattu. Valko-Venäjä on täysin Venäjän kontrollissa ja Lukashenka sanoi vähän aikaisemmin, että koskaan ei sotilas mene Valko-Venäjän läpi Ukrainaan. Venäläinen sotilas siis ei hyökkää sitä kautta ja paljastui, että hän valehteli ihan törkeästi. Eli näin juuri nyt tapahtuu. Ja tosiaan Valko-Venäjällä ei ole mitään päätäntävaltaa omiin asioihinsa, vaan se on täysin Venäjän hallussa. Now there is the war going on, and I repeat this now all the time, Russia attacked Ukraine. In case there's any Russian now who can listen to this online, we have to say it all over again. But there will be sanctions, economic sanctions now against Russia. And are you afraid that there will be sanctions against Belarus too? Because you are here yes. now, but you have family and friends and loved ones in Belarus.
Well, the problem is that sanctions now, it's the only variant of reaction, because Western countries cannot go to direct war with Putin, because he is crazy enough to send nuclear weapon to any point of the world.
At least he's threatening, yeah.
And he's threatening to do it. The sanctions is the only variant to punish him and Mr. Lukashenko for their aggression against Ukraine. We understand that sanctions as well should somehow give the price for Putin, because now he's destroying the cities of Ukraine. He's destroying buildings, airports, bridges. It's billions of dollars of direct losses for Ukrainian economy. So it means that he must pay as well his price. So I understand these sanctions. I understand that the population of Russia should feel that attacking Ukraine, and they don't deny that they attack Ukraine. They call it special operation against Nazis, something like this, all this kind of propaganda. But that the attacking of Ukraine means the losses of every Russian citizen. That is why sanctions are very, very important.
Eli taloudelliset pakotteet, niitä aletaan nyt panna toimeen käytäntöön ja ne on monenlaisia asioita. Mutta vielä otetaan sitä Valko-Venäjän rooli. But as you said, your country is under silent occupation. Are you afraid that they might reach Belarus, attack Belarus too?
Yes, of course, because our army now is used as war meat. So people were sent to Ukrainian war, and they didn't want to fight against Ukrainians, and they don't want to die for Russian interests in Ukraine. And we understand that attitude of Ukrainian people is dramatically changed to Belarusians, because previously we felt a brothership. And Belarusians visited Ukraine and got all the kind attitude. But now we understand that Ukrainians will strike back, and the war could come to our territory. And nobody wants it. That's why it was such a big manifestations, anti-war manifestations in Minsk, in spite of repressions, in spite of bans of any kind of meetings. People went to the street and cried, "Stop war, no war, we support Ukraine," and that's it.
Yes, okei. Okay. Eli hän on huolissaan siitä, että joo, siis nämä sanktiot voi ulottua kyllä rankaisemaan myös Valko-Venäjää, mutta valkovenäläiset on monet ollut todella harmissaan tästä sodasta ja toivoneet, että se loppuisi ja myös osoittanut mieltään sitä vastaan. Ja valkovenäläiset kokee ukrainalaiset veljiksi ja sisareiksi, että he eivät koe tämmöistä, tai he eivät ole niin kuin vihaisia. Mä sanon väliin vielä, että Valko-Venäjän raja Ukrainan kanssa on 1100 kilsaa suunnilleen ja Venäjän kanssa 1900 kilometriä Ukraina ja Venäjän raja. Eli Valko-Venäjä on Ukrainan tärkein rajanaapuri. Your border is very, very long. I just checked. Yes. It was more than 1000 kilometers.
Yes.
At the end, we will talk more about Belarus. I promise you it's very important, but still, let's go on some things about Russia. I have met you like half a year earlier for the first time, I think. And then I asked you about the psychology of Lukashenko and a little bit about Putin, too. Do you think that this is a beginning of the end of these old men?
Well, the beginning of the end of Lukashenko started in 2020 when he lost election to Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, and people went to the streets and showed that majority of Belarusians doesn't want him anymore. To stay in power, he started negotiations with Putin and signed agreements, including war agreements, military agreements with Putin, losing control over the country, but staying formally as a president. If we talk about Putin, in that time we didn't understand his plans, because he started this kind of conflict with the West about the guarantees of security to Russia with Biden and with European Union. But actually now we understand that it was just a preparation for the big war in Europe. Now for me it's absolutely clear that it's the beginning of his end. If you see on Security Council of Russia, you will see that it looks like Politburo of Brezhnev. Mm-hmm. It's old people who understand that they will soon gone. So they try to do something terrible in the end of their careers.
Okay, so hän sanoi, että nykyinen johto, Venäjän johto näyttää hyvin paljon Brezhnevin ajan politbyrolta, ja heille, jotka eivät Neuvostoliiton historiaa niin muista, niin sanottako, että Brezhnev oli 70-80-luvun Neuvostoliiton johtaja. Politbyro tarkoittaa siis niin kuin, tai tarkoitti Neuvostoliiton korkeinta johtoa. There are cynical people who say that if Putin, when he goes, if he ever goes, well, he must go someday. Anyway, that there will be somebody equally bad to replace him. And I'm always warning about this, because the thing that the opposition is being silenced doesn't mean that the opposition does not exist. It does. It could be, it can be strong or not. But the main thing is that we don't know where it is, who they are. What I do know, I mean, we all know if we just watch the news, is that Putin is so afraid of people demonstrating that he can't let even a little girl to shout somewhere in the corner of the street without possibly putting her in jail.
He afraid not only people on the streets, he afraid of his own close friends. And if you see the photos, how he meets with the Mr. Shoigu, who is the minister of military minister of Russia, they sit on the distance of 5 meters to each other. It's closest person to Putin. So he afraid of everybody. He spends most of his time in the bunker without windows. You can find these photos of his cabinet. There is no windows there at all.
Mm-hmm.
People think that he is really crazy. But we understand that now the government of Russia, it's a military cabinet. It consists only of militarists. And of course, if Putin dies or gone or something happens, we cannot predict if the person who will come will not be like Maduro after Chavez, you know?
Mm.
It's difficult to say, but I still believe that normal people of Russia want to change this autocratic regime and will not let it be like North Korea when, you know, son goes after father and grandchildren goes after like generation by generation of dictators. I hope that the Russian people will stop it.
Eli Andrei Kurejčik sanoi, että tämänhetkinen Venäjän hallinto näyttää ihan sotakabinetilta, eli sodan johdolta. Ja kun kysyin tästä, että moni sanoo kyynisesti, että Putinin jälkeen voi tulla joku yhtä paha, niin Putin on kuitenkin itse hyvin peloissaan. Että hän näyttää itse kyllä aika lailla siltä, että sieltä voi tulla kuka tahansa. Hän pelkää hyvin paljon ja Andrei huomautti, että hän ei pelkää vaan kadulla olevia mielenosoittajia, vaan hän pelkää omia läheisimpiä ystävien ja työtovereitaan niin paljon, että hän ei voi istua edes saman pöydän ääressä kovin lähekkäin, vaan toisten pitää istua siellä tosi tosi kaukana. Andrei myös uskoo siihen, että tavalliset venäläiset ihmiset haluaa muutosta. Tämmöinen muutos on tulossa. Sitä hän ei ennusta, milloin se tulee. Let's talk about Belarus now. Because actually, we were going to talk about that. Yeah. We were going to talk about Belarus, but it's so sad that because of the war, just war that began and Russia attacked Ukraine. I just have to repeat it again.
I think that
we
Belarus
have been talking about that, yeah.
Is one of the key countries now for Europe. Because if Europe be more straight for Belarus in 2020, if Europe supported more Belarusians and pushed more Lukashenko, this war couldn't start. Regime of Lukashenko over in 2020 and Svetlana Tikhanovskaya came in Minsk as a president, of course the no war could be possible.
Eli Andrei mielestä, jos Eurooppa olisi tukenut enemmän Valko-Venäjää, tämä sota olisi ollut mahdoton. Let's just one thing about the elections. Lukashenko sort of de facto won, even though that was illegitimate. Tikhanovskaya got more votes. How much do you estimate that actually were voting for Lukashenko?
They estimated and estimated very easily because there was a protocols which on the every commission was put for people, and these protocols were put in the electronic system and we could understand how much. So it means that Svetlana wins in the first tour with nearly 60% of votes.
Mm-hmm.
And Lukashenko gets something like 25-30% of votes.
Okay, so Lukashenko arviolta, ja tämä pystytään kuulemaan helposti arvioimaan, koska Valko-Venäjällä noudatettiin jonkinlaista protokollaa kuitenkin, vaikka lopussa äänet väärennettiin, mutta Lukashenkalla ei olisi enempää kuin 25% äänistä. We have to actually to make Finns understand what kind of crisis there is going on in these two countries. There are 44 million people in Ukraine. 44 miljoonaa on Ukrainan väkiluku ja Kiovassa asuu 2,88 miljoonaa tai asui, nyt osa heistä on paennut. In Belarus the population is 9.5 million.
9.5, yes.
Yes, 9.5 miljoonaa on Valko-Venäjän luku ja Minskissä asuu 2 miljoonaa ihmistä. There will be time when that which will be the end of Lukashenko. What he has been doing is exactly the same that has been going on in Russia, that young people have been put to jail. women, children, yes, and of course a lot of men. And that started right after, well, it has been going on all the time, but it escalated right after the election.
Yes, more than 45,000 of people were punished with prisons in Belarus for some terms. And we have now more than 1,000 of political prisoners with a long-term punishment, like Maria Kolesnikova, who has 13 years in jail, or Sergei Tikhanovsky, who has 18 years.
Yeah, that's the man who was going to be the candidate, but then his wife, Svetlana Tikhanovskaya,
took his documents, and she went for election. Lukashenko allowed it because he thought that nobody knows her and she has no rating and it will be easy for him to beat her. And he made mistake.
Mm-hmm, it seems. Eli poliittisia vankeja on edelleen 1000 ja 45 000 ihmistä Valko-Venäjällä pidätettiin tai vangittiin joksikin aikaa mielenosoitusten jälkeen. Osa heistäkin voi olla kyllä vielä vangittuja. Have they been sued? Have there been legitimate court cases? Do they have access to a lawyer?
You mean political prisoners?
Yeah, well, those who have been protesting.
It's very big, big problems with the courts. Many lawyers were cancelled with their licenses.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot be the lawyer without license in Belarus. So those who defended political prisoners, lawyers who defended political prisoners, they were cancelled their licenses.
Okay, eli asianajaja tilanne on tosi huono, varsinkin poliittisilla vangeilla, koska heiltä on usein otettu siis nämä lakimiesoikeudet pois. Toisin sanoen, Valko-Venäjällä on vangittu ihmisiä, jotka eivät saa oikeudenkäyntejä, eivätkä saa tavata asianajajia. Many human rights organizations like Amnesty, for example, one of them, but I know others too, have been also trying to get support for the prisoners that have been sort of forgotten. And unfortunately, many of them are even children. Why are children being imprisoned in Belarus?
Because legislation gives this opportunity to punish people after 14 and after 16. And because many people protested as families.
So they were marching, adults and with their kids.
Yes, I took my son as well on manifestations. He's 14.
Eli Valko-Venäjän lain mukaan voidaan pidättää yli 14-vuotias ja vangita. You have been also talking about some situations of children. Many of them are suffering because they are not allowed to see their parents, for example.
Yes, we have several cases which are so cruel. For example, we have a guy, a young Belarusian. He's, I think, 17 or something like this now, in this moment, but he has a mental disorder. He has panic attacks kind of autism, and he was put in the jail, not in the medical staff. And his mother cannot meet with him, and she said that he's crying all the time, and cannot sleep, and, you know, and he's already more than a year in a prison.
Mm-hmm.
So we have very, very cruel punishment to people. Sometimes we don't understand why it's so cruel, especially to the women. To the women with a lot of children.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lady, his surname is Sharenda Panasuk. And she was put in prison. She has 5 children, and actually the only her fault that she was on the protest, in manifestation, and she was put in for many years. mm-hmm. in prison. Even if her child is like smallest child is just 1 year or something like this.
Eli Valko-Venäjällä on vangittu lapsia, mutta vangittu myös monilapsisten perheiden äitejä. Yksikin esimerkki, jonka Andrei mainitsi, on äiti, jonka nuorin on vuoden vanha ja äiti on saanut siis monen vuoden tuomion. Ainoana oletettavana syynä on siis tämä mielenosoittaminen. I'm always saying that the sort of leader who leads with fear is a weak leader. Would you like to comment on this? Like Putin is a weak leader and so is Lukashenko, because the only way how they can rule is to gain their power through fear. And now during the last days, the Ukrainian guy Zelensky has surprised everybody because he seems to be a true leader and he seems to be having the support of the nation behind him.
Absolutely. I know Zelensky personally. He mm-hmm. played the role in my movie in 2009.
Okay.
And it was a comedy, and in that time I thought that it's very nice comedian, and that it...
He didn't play president in your comedy.
No. It was a remake of one Soviet movie. He played just an ordinary clerk. And I wrote screenplay for this movie. Or I was writer. But in few days, we see the difference. The popularity of Putin and Lukashenko goes down, because people feels fear, and they feels that this war is absolutely like Hitler war against Poland. It's about nothing.
Mm.
And the rating of Zelensky is going up, and yesterday it was results of sociology in Ukraine, and 91% of Ukrainians fully support Mr. Zelensky, and less than 10 not support him. So it means that the Ukrainians united around Zelensky. He showed that he's very brave. I mean, he stayed in Kyiv even while, you know, the Russian troops were on the streets. Now they are pushed out, but in that days they were on the streets mm-hmm. right nearby, and he could be captured. And on all Russian channels they said that they will detain and take Zelensky. They want to take him personally, to arrest him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he understands it.
Eli I just translate a bit.
Yeah.
Andrei kertoi tässä, että kun sanoin, että vahva johtaja ei ole se, joka hallitsee pelolla, vaan vahva johtajahan on se, jolla on oikeasti kansan tuki. Putinilla ja Lukashenkalla ei ole, mutta näyttää siltä, että ainakin tätä haastattelua tehdessä Ukrainan Zelenskillä on tällainen tuki, niin Andrei sanoi, että hän tuntee Zelenskin hyvin, koska Zelenski näytteli yhdessä leffassa, johon Andrei on kirjoittanut käsikirjoituksen. Ja tällä hetkellä niiden tietojen mukaan, mitä hän on saanut, niin 91% ukrainalaisista tukisi omaa presidenttiään ja alle 10% siis jotenkin ei tue Zelenskiä. But I have to ask you more about the Ukrainian president now, because you guys are friends. Did you sort of, could you have thought that he would actually give that brave statement saying that I don't need a lift, I just need more weapons?
Yeah, for me it was, you know, a great surprise, but not only Zelensky. For me it's a great surprise that ordinary people and his cabinet mm-hmm. stayed in Kyiv. I mean, the military minister of Ukraine, he was just a lawyer.
Mm.
he's not a real, you know, general or something. He's,
and Zelensky doesn't use this long table.
Sit. And, you know, all others, like members of his cabinet, it was quite ordinary people who never ever been on the real war. But they stayed. They fight, and the people fight. And for me, of course, Zelensky could do nothing if nation not fighting. You saw how fast Taliban took, for example, Afghanistan. Even the Afghan government had a lot of American weapon, $80 billion of weapon, the newest, the best one, but they lost Kabul in 3 days.
Yes, because nobody.
Yeah, and the president just went out from the country, and here we see the difference, because Taliban is just a gangs, but Russia, it's the biggest military power in Europe, in Eurasia. It has 10 times more military budget than Ukraine. 10 times the difference. And the potential, war potential, military potential is even bigger, because they have newest weapons, a lot of aircrafts, rockets, and so on, which Ukraine doesn't have.
Early on, you actually compared this situation to 1939, when the Soviet Union Red Army attacked Finland.
Absolutely. It was the same misunderstanding of Russian leaders.
That's what I was thinking. Why don't they ever learn?
Because every new Russian dictator, he thinks that he's better than previous one. So I'm pretty sure that Putin believed that he's more strong than Stalin. But Stalin made mistake. He thought if his country is bigger, if his army is bigger, it will be easy win with Finland. But if you don't have resistance, if you have resistance not only from army but from whole people, whole population, you can do nothing about this.
Eli Andrei sanoi, että Putin teki saman virheen kuin Stalin aikoinaan, hyökkäs luullen, että tämä on helppo juttu. Stalin 39 hyökkäs Suomeen ja Putin nyt sitten Ukrainaan, mutta kun kansa on mukana vastustamassa hyökkääjää, se voitto ei ole niin helppo. Hän vertasi tilannetta Talibaniin. Se otti vallan Afganistanissa todella nopeasti, koska kansalla siellä ei ollut sitä voimaa vastustaa Talibania. Mutta nyt ukrainalaiset näyttää ihan toisenlaista vastarintaa. Ihan lopuksi mä kysyn häneltä vielä, miten kaipaako hän sinne Valko-Venäjälle. Last thing. I want to ask you about Belarus. Many people also in Finland sometimes think that when people come here as refugees or like you under Artists at Risk residency program, people are just so happy and delighted about that all the time. But actually, I have learned that all people, no matter where they come from, if they are forced to be here, they miss home so much. You do miss home all the time, don't you?
Yes, I miss my home. I miss people from my family. I miss my friends. But for me, the most difficult part that I cannot visit my village, where all my roots, where buried my mom and my brother, and all the relatives. For me, it's very. It was, you know, tradition to do it every year many times, but now it's not possible. I miss my home. That is why I never asked for political asylum or something. I just wait till the first opportunity to come back.
Eli Andrei kaipaa kotikylänsä. Hän on kertonut mulle aikaisemmin, että se on Minskin lähellä, mutta siellä on hautausmaa, jonne hänen äitinsä ja hänen pikkuveljensä ovat haudattu. Mutta Andreilla on toki elossa olevaa perhettä ja ystäviä, ja hän odottaa vain ensimmäistä mahdollisuutta lähteä. Ja sitten hän lähtee. Hän ei ole hakenut Suomesta poliittista turvapaikkaa.
I would like to add that what I see right now, under the United Nations information, already 500,000 of people left Ukraine because of the war to this moment. 500,000 people become refugees. And I really ask Finland as well to help these people, because absolute majority of them, it's women with the children.
I will say this at the end. Eli hän haluaa nyt, siis nyt katsoi justiin puhelinta ja uutisia, että 500,000 ihmistä tähän hetkeen asti on nyt vain Ukrainasta. Varmaan tämä tilanne etenee lisää, pakenee, auttakaa kaikki heitä. Mä annan tässä lopussa vain yhden. I will just give one piece of information. Finnish Red Cross have a website where you can actually send support. That will be direct support. But of course, if you follow the international links, UN and all others, you will find other links. But in Finnish, there is Finnish Red Cross. Eli jos haette suomenkielistä sivua, josta voi auttaa, niin ehdottomasti Suomen Punaisella Ristillä on keräyksiä. Mutta varmasti löydätte muutakin. Thank you, Andre. Thank you so much. And I think because you are still here in Helsinki, we will be talking again. Eli kiitän Andreita, ja mä olin siis Iida Simes, ja nyt mä lopetan ja me jäädään juomaan kahvia ja mä pyydän Zelenskin puhelinnumeron niin, että voidaan soittaa seuraavaksi sitten hänelle. Kiitoksia.
Mikäli pidit kuulemastasi, voit tukea meitä liittymällä Voimajengiin osoitteessa voima.fi/voimajengi.